would you say if I said that I could bring him back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Welcome to St. John Forward Radio. It's Monday night, 9 o'clock, so that means that it's time for this thing to happen, I guess. We've got some drama going on, and I'm happy to report. I'm not happy that it's happening, but anyway. We've got the scoop here on St. John Forward Radio, because I've read Facebook posts, so I've got all of the information. To get right into it, some backstory. We had a Yuck Yucks in St. John for about a year and a half. It was a nice thing having a professional comedy club with shows going on every week. Lots of drama around that I've talked about a lot on the radio. You can fiddle with the knobs over there if the volume isn't working correctly on your headphones, unnamed guest. It is too bad. Kind of the Yuck Yucks started off on a bad foot. It kept the legacy of another monthly show that used to happen in KV. Lots of vengeful, ban-happy people in charge. I don't need to get into my sordid history with the whole thing. You can listen to the back episodes. But basically, I wasn't even allowed to do an unpaid 5-minute guest spot for the first year, and that was eventually reversed with a little help from another comic. And I did end up getting to perform a handful of times over the last 6 months that it was open. But started to fall apart a bit. Lots of Thursday shows canceled for lack of ticket sales. I think they canceled Thursdays just as a rule for most of the summer. Towards the end of it, they had to downgrade the comedian condo that the touring people would stay in. They had to downgrade that to save money. And then in October last year, they closed it all of a sudden. Not a whole lot of information, just yep, we're done. One article on the internet, no interviews. I was supposed to perform on the Thursday night of that last weekend that they canceled it. I assume because they didn't sell any tickets, but I didn't ask for details. There wasn't any to be had. We assumed that, you know, the lack of sales and, in all likelihood, probably just not profitable. It was a super fancy spot, one of those historical properties. It was, $4,000 a month rent. I don't remember where I heard that from. I'm assuming that's true. I don't remember what my source is, but we're going to go with that. And, that's a lot of money for a place that's open like a dozen hours a week on average. Shut her down. That was it. We still have chuckles, but that's a once a month thing with the occasional one offs. But as far as all of you John Forward fans out there, you only get to see me there like once or maybe twice a year. So that wasn't enough for St. John Forward. St. John Fix. I don't know. Coughing into the microphone. After it closed, I spoke to a guy who used to own the Moncton Yuck Yucks, and he was talking a big game about buying it out and starting it up again. I believe he told me that he could manage $2,000 a month, and that ended up being half of what it required. I never did speak to him again after that first time, but then, some guy from Thunder Bay who owns a club called Cricket started, talking about opening up a St. John location. Was supposed to open in January this year. He was, I don't remember if he asked or if I just, sent it like an unsolicited dick pic, but, I sent him some comedy videos of myself. He seemed to enjoy it. I think he said, "You've got some twisted stuff." Like, yeah, man, I'm super twisted. And, anyway, I spoke to him on the phone for like an hour back in December. I was trying to feel him out, get a foot in the door maybe. And he seemed a little nutty, but you know, seemed on board as far as developing new comics, and kind of you know, it seemed like it would be a big change from the Yuck Yucks thing to embrace the local scene instead of antagonizing it. One red flag of that hour, he did spend like 15 to 20 minutes of it talking about how much he wanted to punch another comedian that I'd mentioned when he asked who was a draw. He wanted to punch them in the face, and not just like literally talked about having like a money offer and a ring set up. It was insane. But anyway, he didn't say who was going to be running it. I assumed it would be him. He didn't say what the venue was. Things were still in motion. He was a little gun shy. And you know, I've asked around. This guy's got a bit of a reputation, and I've asked a few headliners that, and some other people that have worked with him, and I was told he's kind of a good enough guy when he's on your side, but he's got lots of beefs and grudges, so be careful. And an anonymous source sent a link around to everybody in the comedy scene about this guy getting charged with like dozens and dozens and dozens of counts of fraud. Something the internet said he scammed a bunch of people out of money with some kind of scheme to do with like discount motorcycles, ATVs, and skidoos. Not comedy related, but you know, speaks to the person. And then it was finally announced that the new Crickets was going to be in the old Yuck Yucks venue, which was a surprise because, you know, that seemed to be the thing that killed it. And it was going to be managed by the same guy, which could also have been a thing that killed it before. We don't really know. But between the venue and management, I don't know what's left. It didn't seem like a winning combo. But anyway, if yeah, so that's not how I would have played it, but that's why I'm not doing it. But, you know, I started to think maybe that was the plan all along. Like this all of a sudden shutdown of the Yuck Yucks. Maybe this was just a way to kind of get out from under the boot of the franchise. The Yuck Yucks organization probably wasn't happy about it. And I think there's some sort of loophole that the old Yuck Yucks guy would only technically be the manager instead of the owner. But anyway, that seems like it was going to be a problem. Not my problem, though. But Crickets was supposed to open in January, and then delay, 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 no updates, nobody knew what was going on, offering spots to people before it even opened. At the beginning of March, the Thunder Bay guy said he finally got his business license, and he was pissed that it took so long, and hoped to open in 2 weeks, as long as the liquor license and entertainment license don't take too long. And then not much happened. He started talking about a comedy contest. There was at least one private event going on. And then he asked for submissions for this contest, which was less than a week before the actual show would have taken place with no advertising. I only know of one person who actually got an answer back that they got into the contest. I sent a message to Thunder Bay guy just to like, "Hey, I didn't hear anything, so I guess I'm not in." And he's like, no, you can be on it, but it might be next week because we don't have our liquor license yet." But it had to happen before the 20th because that's when the Thunder Bay finals were. But no lineup announced, no event on Facebook, no updates. And then all of a sudden, the former Yuck Yucks guy posted on Facebook that the club wouldn't be opening. Creative differences, lack of communication from Ontario, which this all tracks. But then the crazy part, last week, Crickets guy from Thunder Bay starts posting all over Facebook that the Yuck Yucks guy misappropriated funds for the club's permits, ran up the company credit cards, some sort of break and enter fraud. If you dig deep into the comments, he even says that there's security camera footage to back this up, and that the police are involved in everything. And this just seems like a crazy thing, and I don't really know what to believe. It sounds insane, but it's a pretty bold claim to make if it's not true. I don't really know what he would steal if he broke into the club, like some chairs and the popcorn machine, maybe. Well, wait. We've got a phone call. Hang on. Hello? Oh, wrong button. Hello?
Oh, wait. Hello there. Hello there.
Hello? Who's this?
Wrong button. This is someone with some secret information.
Turn off your radio in the background. We can hear the echo.
It's not on. Oh, wait. Is that better?
Yeah. Well, yeah. What's up?
I have some secret information.
What? About what? About crickets?
Yeah. That's what you were talking about. That's what you were talking about, wasn't it?
Yeah. What's your secret information?
Okay. Well, I have 3 or 4 clues for you to think about.
Okay.
First clue. Who was the comic that the crickets owner wanted to punch out?
I wasn't going to say anything, but it was Darren Frost.
Yeah, wait till you hear all the questions before you figure it out.
Okay.
Who was the comic that helped get my Yuck Yuck band lifted?
Who helped me with I was allowed to do Yuck? That was also Darren Frost. Helped me get back to doing guest spots.
Stop guessing until all the questions are out, please. You're ruining this. It's supposed to be my big moment. Who was the headliner at last week? Yuck Yuck. If you answer all these questions 3, you will know who he be.
The headliner that last weekend was also Darren Frost. This is some crazy.
It was supposed to be a big moment where you figured it all out. It was good. That would have been way cooler, but you just had to keep ruining it by guessing the answers.
That is a pretty weird coincidence. I don't really understand how this has to do with the club not opening and all the delays and everything. Does this have something to do with me? Is this some sort of long-term plan to keep me off of that stage or something?
I wish to remain anonymous.
Oh, well, we lost our caller who had some interesting tidbits. I don't know what to think about that. That adds a whole new wrinkle. Is Darren Frost involved somehow? I don't know. But Matt Keenan, my guest, do you know? Do you know the Darren Frost link?
Yeah, I have. Probably not.
What have you heard in Toronto?
About Darren Frost? Or just...
about any of it. I don't know.
I've heard various things.
All right, well, maybe we can get into that in a bit. I need a few minutes to let this all sink in. If anybody else has any hot tips, you can call... I didn't even give out the phone number. It's 648-5925. I don't know how this person... this is crazy. Let's play some Guar, the one that will not be named, on St. John Forward Radio, and we'll be back.
Cross crevice chasms, vast and endless plains of unshaven ass. Our time in hell draws to the last. We call upon the master of the pit. Have you got a toilet? I must take the shit. Open your gates, Lord of Hate, or your front porch is gonna get it. Very well, I'll use my sword. It's very good at smashing doors.
We call you out. Overrated, overlord.
I root up all evil and hatred and shame. So many victims, so many names.
But they are all the same. Rascagel, Shaul, Helel Ben Sahar, Lucifer, Satan, we know who you are. Pain is the one who will not be named. Pain is the one who will not be blamed for nothing. The realm of the sun we have left far behind, and damned in the darkness we've groped with the blind. Cannot remember time. We summon the Lord of Hell, so come forth now, I have your spell. Come on, cheap shit, and lots of it. He is the one who will not be named. He is the one who will not be blamed. He is the one that is turning the screws. The Lord of the Underworld. Let's get the devil's due.
Welcome, Gwar, to my domain. It's nice to be called on by so many names. What's this I hear about you kicking my ass?
St. John Forward Radio, here with the Toronto kid, Matt Kanan.
The Toronto kid.
Is that what they call you out there?
Yeah, that's what they call me, right? Yeah. They're like, you're just another Toronto kid. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're in town, I guess. Well, what are you doing here? And I don't know. Well, I'm looking for the phrase that's something about... like, what's your pleasure? But like, that doesn't make any sense. That's what I was going for. Anyway, what brings you to town is the simple way to say it.
Shows and family and friends, you know?
Yeah, you were at Chuckles all weekend, opening for Mike Dambra.
Yeah.
I was there for the clothing drive that was wildly unsuccessful.
Yeah, you had a lot of extra room on those trucks.
Yeah. Oh well, we created some awareness for the diabetes and all of those flyers that people grudgingly took on day two.
I know. I saw a few people that were like, "What is this?"
Well, yes, they're clearly illiterate. So yeah. Anyway. Yeah, it was a good set of shows. Jason Guptill also making his Chuckles debut, filling in for a surprise Mark Harnett never showed up.
Yeah,
weather issues in Newfoundland, but you know, he's he cancels a lot of things.
It happens often.
So yeah, I cut your set on Friday. I was I swapped back out the truck to go get my car so that I could just go home afterwards on Saturday. But how'd you do on Saturday?
I thought I did better on Friday.
Yeah.
Saturday, I felt like I don't know. I felt like I don't know what it was. I feel like I did okay at the beginning, and then I just had a joke that wasn't getting anything, and I felt like that just kind of dug me a hole, and then I just spent the next like 5 minutes trying to dig myself out of it, but then I
ended strong. That's happened to me. Yeah, just when if they don't like the first thing that they don't like, I don't know if it's maybe you have the same thing. I just like when you say and you're expecting it to do well and it doesn't. I don't know if I get thrown off or if the crowd kind of turns against you for a little while. I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that they necessarily, but it was just like I felt like the first couple jokes did well.
Yeah.
And then I did another joke that just didn't. They just weren't into.
Right.
And it was just like very flat.
Was it something dark? Because last time I was there, I was doing well. Like Chuckles seems good with dirty, but as soon as you say something dark, then they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like I was doing my teacher material and I made a joke about like you can't call home anymore or you can't hit the kids anymore, but I made a few calls home that resulted in mysterious bruises the next day and they were just like silence, like child abuse isn't funny, John.
No, I didn't even say anything dark. I just I was talking about Airbnb.
Yeah.
And I hadn't it's an older joke, probably about a year old now, but it don't tell it often. And I was like, I could probably fit it in here, do it for a couple extra minutes, just nothing. And then, but then a few jokes after that, I wasn't really getting anything. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. And then eventually they started to come back. And then I feel like I ended just as strong, but.
Yeah. I shot myself in the foot. As soon as I came out on the Saturday, I had it in my head that this is going to be a killer like opening thing, because Shane was very excited about their new sign that they've got above the stage.
Yeah.
Or it's just like a print of their Facebook cover photo type thing with the lights. And I made a joke about Shane being super excited about his new sign, which is just a picture of a better sign. And did not get anything, and I was like, oh, and it kind of threw me off for the first couple of minutes. Whenever I said it to, like, I tested it out on a couple of comedians beforehand, I was like, I'm going to say this, and they all laughed, and you just laughed, but not the audience.
I know. Sometimes it's hard to run jokes by other comics, because it's, we don't always.
It was too clever, I think, was the problem.
Yeah, the audience had no idea what you were talking about. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. It's always fun. It's, have you seen Dambra before? This is, what, his fourth, fifth time, I think?
Yeah, this is his fourth, maybe.
Yeah.
I think because it was, how many, his ninth standing ovation?
He didn't get one on Saturday.
Yeah, it was like a half.
But even on Friday, it was still a great show and everybody enjoyed it. But Friday, the standing ovations seemed a little forced. Like, they're advertising it as Standing O King, Mike Dambra. And it's just, you know, it's just the show ended like normal. And then a few people stood up and everybody kind of looked around and like, I guess we're doing this. And they all stood up. I don't know.
No, I hadn't seen him before. I had planned to go see him last year when he was here, and then I was booked.
Yeah. What did you think? Were you dazzled?
Yeah, I would have preferred... I would like that more like a Hell's Basement kind of show where it's more intimate.
Yeah.
Because there's... I love crowd work, but sitting at the back of the room, you don't get to see everyone that he's...
Yeah, and he doesn't do... I was at the back too, and he usually, like, when I listen to like nerdy comedy podcasts, when they talk about like how to do crowd work, like one of the things you're supposed to do is kind of repeat back what the person says, because most of the people can't hear it, and he doesn't do that. It didn't matter; he still did great.
Yeah.
But seeing him two nights in a row, like it was a mostly completely different show both times. I think he did Hell's Basement on Thursday.
Yeah, he did Hell's Basement Thursday. I think that would have been a good show. And I don't know, when was the last time you were at Hell's Basement?
Was the beginning of March.
Okay, so you've been there since they changed the...
Yeah, it was on the side stage.
Yeah. So I like that kind of layout, especially, and I think with crowd work too there, you can see everyone at that point.
Yeah, I did. I'm not sure how I... Yeah, I don't know. It was different. I like that because it's kind of... I was kind of bummed out when that's how O'Leary's used to be when we were in the upstairs room, just kind of wide and narrow. But that it kind of necessitates you kind of doing like the windshield wiper, kind of looking left and right.
Yeah, that's almost the same with how Yuck Yucks was set up too.
Yeah,
but it's. I don't care too much how it's set, but I just there's something. I guess from an audience perspective, when I'm watching a show,
yeah,
I think it's cooler knowing that I'm only five rows back
as opposed to
20 kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, like even I was in the lower bowl for Seinfeld, but like he was still just a tiny thing in the distance. And like I just kept drifting off to the big screen on the side. You can't really tell facial expressions from 100 feet away.
I did that at when we went to New York to see Chappelle.
Yeah,
it's the same thing. I was like, I just feel like I'm watching it on Netflix at this point because I can't see anything that he's actually doing.
Yeah, but with the last time I was there, it was probably definitely the best of the three or four times I've done Hell's Basement. Might have been the best set that I've ever had. I don't know if it was the layout of the room or what.
No, not necessarily. I just think that layout is good for crowd work. So like,
yeah,
for Danbro, where you could literally see everybody and
everyone
can kind of feel like they're part of the.
Gives you more options just instead of just one row of faces to look at. You can kind of see more people. So yeah, that's good. I did really enjoy the show. I feel like I don't think I enjoyed it as much as I had previously just because it's different every time, but it does have like a bit of a formula to it. It's, you know, you get into patterns and there, if there's something that this person says this stupid thing and this is the kind of stock response. So it loses its mystique a little bit after that. And he kind of goes to, I was surprised he actually, every time that I've seen him, he calls it Pickle, where he does.
Yeah. Like that's what I heard. And then he didn't.
Yeah. He didn't do it on Friday. He did a bit on Saturday. Where he does his mentally challenged man voice and does a thing with his hands where he puts like his finger like under under his armpit. He leaned on that. He did that on Saturday as much as he usually did. I think he did it. I think he threw it out like for like one line on Friday night and then just never came back to it, which is probably, I think the Friday night was the better show. And It might have been because, you know, when things are going well and more organically, I guess, there's less need to kind of fall back into the formula of it.
Yeah, for sure.
But definitely impressive. And I really think it was just me because everybody there seemed to enjoy it. And especially people that had never seen it before were just as blown away as I remember being the first couple of times that I've seen it. So.
I as someone watching it for the first time, I still thought it was really cool just to remember like the people that you're going back to.
Yeah,
I feel like I would just be like, I don't remember which one of those people I talked to.
Yeah, because there's probably like five or six people that he just bounces between throughout the set, and you know, for somebody I've attempted the odd crowd work here and there, and I'm lucky if I can sustain that for like 5 minutes, let alone an hour or however long he did. So it's pretty impressive that way. And you know, he does have a few bits that he went into, but I would say like aside from the stock kind of response to this type of like, he's got his like drunk woman material and he's got his douchebag guy material. There's probably only like 15 minutes of like actual material that was in there, so it was pretty impressive that that he can maintain that that pace and do as well as he did throughout. There wasn't really any lulls.
No, it was, I think, consistent the whole way through.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're at the 9:30 mark. Do you want to tell us about the song that you picked for this evening?
Yeah, let's do it. It's a song that's just been on my playlist, but it's Jamie Como and the Crooked Teeth. They're a St. John band.
Do you know anybody in the band? I noticed that was local. They're on Spotify.
So Drake, he plays drums in the band. I went to high school with him.
Drake Tobias?
No.
Okay.
I would not be playing this song if it was Drake Tobias. And then other than that, I don't know anyone else in the band.
Are you sure you don't want to play Drake singing I Got a Feeling from a high school variety show instead?
That is tempting.
we'll play Jamie Como and the Crooked Teeth. Have you gone to see these?
I saw them do an acoustic show at the Five and Dime.
Yeah.
Last year. That was the first time I saw them. And then this was the first song they released on the old Spotify. So
yeah, the name sounds familiar, at least the Crooked Teeth part, but I've not actually heard the band. I didn't even skim the track, so I'm hearing it for the first time with the rest of you on St. John Forward Radio. I don't know why. Does my voice sound different when I turn on the computer to you also?
It sounds echoey.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with that, but anyway, you're enduring my slightly boomier voice on St. John Forward.
Of water, beautiful and elegant as the whole old river of the ripple surrounded his soul. And if only she could hold him, except he floats below the skies. All those hidden memories of him staring in those eyes. Oh no, she'd just rather stay by. Scorching through the night, but she can't get too close to him. She's dangerously bright. She'd just rather stay by. And if only she could hold him, except he's hotter than the sun. She fears one day she'll lose him and he'll be back up on the run. Yeah. She just wants to be with you. Breathe the air and hang
107.3
local FM.
This is John Scove Nielsen. You're listening to the St. John Forward Radio on 107.3 FM.
Close enough.
It's too much information.
I really need to make more of those instead of just playing like the same four. I've had people record reads over the years on the radio, and I forget which episodes those are on, so I need to go back
listen
and
listen back to every episode.
Pull those out. So yeah, we just heard Jamie Como and the Crooked Teeth. I assume from the genre that they are probably playing at the Area 506 festival.
Yeah, they are. I saw that.
Yeah, that kind of music I don't dislike, but I don't like it, I guess. And I'm disappointed every year they put out the list of like the 506, and I'm like, I have either not heard of or am completely indifferent to every single band on the list.
I think that, yeah, I don't know. I've never really looked at the full list of anyone, and I don't know half the bands that I do see on it, but
yeah, I haven't. I could probably look it up, and you know, Brian Cleveland came on the show last year to judge me based on my my knee jerk reaction to say that there's nothing going on in the St. John music scene that I'm into. So yeah, if I dug into it, I'd probably find something that I would like. But it seems to lean very heavily on the kind of indie kind of rockish kind of. Yeah, well, yeah, like that, and I'm not super into that. I don't know. Seems, I don't know. There's nothing about murdering anybody in it. Nobody is screaming.
Isn't that disappointing?
It's just, there's just, what is the point? But anyway, not to completely bash the popular zeitgeist of pop culture, I like things. Matt and I, we went to see Avengers Endgame last night. We're not going to get into any spoilers or anything, so don't worry. But I would say, and this isn't a spoiler, it's not story-based, but I was surprised at the amount of full frontal male nudity. Were you expecting that?
Not, well, it's a Disney movie, so there.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't expecting the first penis, but then then there was another one.
Too many. Not that it's too many, but I would have.
One of the penises was CGI, but the other one was at least realistic CGI. Yeah. I don't know if it was a CGI stunt penis, but
a CGI. That's a new. That's the kind of work that I want to do. I mean, I'm not.
You want to get into the physics?
I'm not well endowed, but I want to be a nude male stunt double. I just do the.
Just put those little tiny dots on your penis and just shake it around for a motion capture.
There was that weird. I don't even remember what it was. There was some weird movie I remember watching a few years ago, like I guess probably 10 years ago now. About this dude who wants to like lose his virginity, and he like drives
40-year-old virgin.
No, it's not that one.
American Pie.
I don't remember what it's called now, but it's if you watch the unrated version, just every once in a while, there's just a random naked dude that has nothing to do with the movie. Like it's like this. There's this white chubby dude running through like a cornfield, and then all of a sudden, it just pans into a giant black dick running through the cornfield.
I don't think I saw that one, but a quick flash of penis in a movie always is good for a laugh. I don't know, it's a funny punchline.
It really is.
I never saw the movie, but I saw a clip of it from that Andy Samberg movie, Popstar, I think, where Judd Apatow just shows his penis in the window of like the limousine or something. That was part of. Did you see the? Somebody made a video kind of like tongue in cheek about how like Judd Apatow deserves to be canceled because he's all like social justice mouthing off these days about the evils of Louis C.K. talking about Parkland shooters. Somebody made a video that wasn't meant to be taken seriously, but just as an example of like if you dig far enough back into somebody's career and they kind of went through a bunch of Judd Apatow problematic stuff and like homophobic jokes in his movies And there was that scene in Pop Star where and they're talking and they show like behind the scene clips where like the Lonely Island guys are just like, yeah, we never asked him to do that. He just insisted that he do it, and we were going to cast it, but he just kept sending us pictures of his penis and decided that it needed to be him. So I
didn't see that, but
yeah, somebody. I think it was in. I'm thinking Hustler or something on their website or something, but yeah, so somebody wrote an article about the whole thing and cut together like a damning like. This is the work of Judd Apatow, and he needs to check his whatever. So, anyway.
Was that, what's that movie with the Workaholic guys? They did that.
Game Over?
Yeah.
It's on my Netflix queue. I've never seen it.
Oh, there's a random male dick scene in that as well, too, that's just unnecessary but funny because of the context, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's not like I don't know. I guess when I was a kid, my reaction would be like, "Ew, gross, a penis." But now I just think it's funny. I don't know.
I do. The top 10 male dicks in movies. That's an article.
That's probably a list. let's Google that.
Yeah, Google it on the schools.
Well, yeah, just I can't think of any other movies, but top 10 male nudity. let's just add the word comedy, maybe.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably the best bet. Otherwise, they're going to question what we're doing.
Feature okay at the. Sorted by popularity, we got an IMDb list. There's Under the Silver Lake from 2018. I've never heard of that movie. I don't know what it is either. Movie 43 from 2013.
I remember that movie. I have no idea the nude scene.
Baywatch 2017.
I definitely watched
Baywatch as a boobie-starved young boy on TV, so I should definitely check that out.
Just for the male nudity.
Well, the male nudity, and it's probably got references to... That movie is probably made for people that were teenage boys watching this stupid show for no good reason. Movie 43, a series of interconnected short films, follows a washed-up producer as he pitches insane storylines featuring some of the biggest stars in Hollywood. That doesn't really... It's an anthology movie.
I enjoyed that movie. It is very terrible reviews, but I enjoyed it. But I don't remember any
Deadpool? Well, I don't remember male nudity in Deadpool. Was there?
I don't remember actually seeing any, but I do... There was that one scene where he's... Which Deadpool? Is it one or two?
One.
One...
It was probably, very like, we're rated R, and probably, American Pie, I don't remember seeing a penis in there. Mamma Mia from, I never saw that one.
Are you sure that we're looking at male nudity? What do they consider
male nudity? Feature film, comedy, male nudity, sorted by popularity, ascending.
What do they consider male nudity then?
Yeah, these might be just butts. I gotta add penis to the search. 14 best movies with male nudity. Let's see. Come on, Google. This is great radio. These aren't necessarily for comedic effect. Viggo Mortensen, Eastern Promises. I remember the steam room fight scene where he's naked.
I never watched that movie.
It's a good movie. Ben Affleck in Gone Girl. I think I saw that.
Yeah, I watched that movie, but I don't remember.
The blink and you miss it scene takes place while Ben Affleck is taking a shower. Anyway, Jason Segel, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah, that was a good one. I forgot about that one.
Mark Wahlberg in Boogie Nights. That was a stunt penis. Kevin Bacon in Wild Things. That one, did you ever see Wild Things?
No, I didn't watch that.
It came out in 98. I was in either 10th or 11th grade. And I was pumped to go see a movie with Nev Campbell and what's her face there, the other one, making out and having a sex scene in a pool. And I had heard that Kevin Bacon
just helicopters behind them.
Just no, he comes out of the shower, and I think I knew it was coming and averted my eyes so that I would miss it. And I've never seen the movie since then. I'm gonna have to go back and see Kevin's Bacon. Richard Gere in American Gigolo, never saw that one. Jude Law, Talented Mr. Ripley, never seen that one. Tom Hardy and Bronson, and a million other things, it says. Apparently Tom Hardy is rarely not nude in movies, is what it says. What else? Bruce Willis in The Color of Night, never saw that one. Michael Fassbender in Shame, never. I haven't seen a lot of these
movies. I assume Travis Boyce has seen that movie, because he references Michael Fassbender's huge cock in one of his jokes. So either that, or he's just watching other videos.
Yeah. I never saw Brokeback Mountain, but apparently Heath Ledger's penis makes an appearance.
I watched that movie.
None of those are comedies. I need to put comedy back in. I replaced comedy with penis. Or wait, no, it's in there. It just didn't come up. Most popular, highest rated erection / male frontal nudity. Penis Parade, top 25 full frontal scenes in mainstream movies. 10 most shocking male nudity shots. Anyway, that's, I think we've exhausted
that.
Yeah,
I think
topic.
We've talked about
all right, well, let's,
a lot of male genitalia.
Let's play a quick PSA to cleanse the penis palate.
And we'll be right back.
Ever thought of submitting your stories, poetry, photos, or art to a magazine? Distortion is a zine designed and edited by Local FM staff and members to best represent the Port City's arts community. Don't be shy. We want your submissions no matter how weird or wacky they are. If you'd like to submit, email distortion@localfm.ca with the subject line Distortion Submission, plus a write-up about yourself and your works. If you have any questions, be sure to message us on Facebook or email Sean, Shawn, @cfmh.ca. If you'd like to check out our first issue of Distortion, head over to distortion.localfm.ca and you'll be able to view it in a PDF format. Be sure to also tune in to our Facebook page and localfm.ca for any upcoming announcements about Distortion.
That's right. Check it out. I got issue one with my donation to the fund drive. There was an article about how Stephen King's It is problematic.
What?
I don't remember what the argument was. It was kind of foolish. But anyway, anybody that wants to submit something, I don't know what. I feel like I should write something up about the comedy scene, but I don't know what to say. I'd just have to plagiarize monologues from the show. we could get into the Crickets Comedy Club Darren Frost conspiracy, maybe.
Yeah, we could talk about that. Yeah. I don't know what you want to talk.
No, I meant for Distortion.
Oh,
but if you have any insight, like you're by default St. John's most accomplished local comedian, because you're the only one that got paid spots.
Oh, no, okay. I thought you were going to say because I moved yucks. Away. But
well, also moving away.
But anybody can do that.
What's in the yuck yucks? If you were going to break in, what would you steal?
If I was going to break in, I'm trying to think of what they had.
And this is months after it had closed, so probably no cash on hand.
Yeah, there's definitely no cash.
And if he's already been allegedly running up credit cards and misappropriating funds, it wouldn't make any sense to go to an ATM with the company credit card and put it in a safe and then steal it out of the safe.
So no, that'd be stupid. I don't know. It would be what? Chairs and the tables?
The tables would be spotlight? Hard to steal.
Like, I don't know. Did he back in with like a big U-Haul and just... Is that what was... Why you couldn't fit all those bags in the diabetes drugs?
Maybe.
Just a bunch of chairs, and you lent it. You lent it out to yuck yucks.
That could be. I might steal the rubber chicken handles on the bathroom door.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about those. Yeah, the popcorn machine is probably your best, the best thing they have, though.
Yeah, no need to steal the sound system because it was garbage.
Yeah, I mean, unless you were going to use it for something else, because I think it was just a...
Like, if you were opening a new prison and you needed a good speaker for the yard to communicate to the inmates, like, when lunch is.
Yeah, but I don't think that it was, like, a... I don't think it was an actual... Like, it wasn't designed for what it was being used for. I think it was more like your... Your television kind of home theater type system.
Well, was it even that? Like,
or no, they got it from the main speaker. They got it from Target or something like that, didn't they? Target.
I have no idea. The speakers that I remember seeing were like those like cone shaped metal ones that look like an old school like hallway.
Yeah, they had those, and then I think that they got the actual.
Yeah, maybe those ones were just to make it look rustic and hipstery, and they had. Real speakers kind of hidden away, less visible. I don't know. It always sounded. Did you ever notice any weirdness with the sound? Like I don't do a whole lot of Foley and sound effects in my material, but whenever I try to kind of make a sound, it just didn't. Like I tried to like
I know
tap on the mic to make a knock and it doesn't work. I try to do like doing a bit about spanking a stripper, and I try to do like a. Like, to make the slapping noise, and it just did not pick up at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was weird.
I don't do a whole lot of that, so I never really...
Yeah, and, like, if I want to do any sighs or heavy breathing, it just never picked up.
Moan into the...
Yeah, and, like, if, you know, if I want to make the ladies excited in the audience. Yeah.
The only thing I ever noticed was they had the second mic that you'd use to intro the MC.
Yeah,
and every time I would try and do it, it would cut out. Like I'd sit there and I'd tap it, like all right, we're good, and then it's like, give it up for your fabulous and talented MC, and then nothing, it would cut out, and I'm like
Yeah, I don't like wireless mics. I always feel like there's just
that's why I don't like when I did the last library show. They're like, oh, we have a wireless mic if you want to use it. I was like, no, I don't.
You hold on to the microphone by the cord, so you probably can't even hold the
wireless mic. I've used a wireless mic too, and I just hold it a little bit differently, but
you just balance it in the palm of your hand.
I'm worried about it cutting out.
Yeah, well,
because that happened to me.
They don't, I think as a battery saving measure, they aren't on the whole time. I think it seems like there's just a fraction of a second of a delay between like, when it picks up a sound and it's like, oh, something's happening and I've got to turn on now.
I did two shows at the St. John Theater Company with Mullinger and we had a mic. I opened the show and then brought him up and he had a mic at the back to intro me. Mm-hmm. And then we did one show and then we did the second show and I went up and the mic that we were using was completely dead. So I just had to casually talk to the audience with no mic as they gave me another mic.
That's always fun.
Yeah.
We don't have enough time to get into your Toronto adventures. We've only got 5 minutes left. So you're flying back out tomorrow.
Yeah, I fly back out tomorrow. So,
but you're coming back in a couple of weeks. Do you want to plug your show?
Yeah, I'm doing that. It's a Dr. A.T. Leatherboro, the primary school in Hampton that I went to. I don't know what exactly it's for, but it's some fundraiser in regards to them. And the show's at the Hampton High School Theater. It was supposed to be this past Thursday. And then it got...
Flooded.
So they're flying me back in a week, basically. Well,
you've got to spend an extra $500 on flights. I don't know. How much does it cost to fly to get a round trip to St. John and back?
Anywhere from $300 to $400, depending on... When you book your flight, you go through Porter. I go through Porter, so I fly from Billy Bishop Airport in Toronto to St. John. And
I don't know how to. Is that? I heard that there's like $100 flights to Montreal or something. Is that also Porter? Because like when I went to Montreal last summer, I tried to find like somebody told me that there was like $100 flight to Montreal, and I just could not find it.
I don't know. Sometimes if you just like look at like cheap flights,
yeah.
Just Google cheap flights, you might find some different ones. I've never seen anything that cheap, but it's one way, like even one way, like a one way flight, you can get it from anywhere from 100 to 150 to from St. John or vice versa.
So you may have already said it. What's the date of the show?
May 9th.
Okay. Well, you can presumably still get tickets for that.
Yeah.
To see Matt Kanin. Is your podcast still going?
It's on a mini hiatus, but mostly just because I've been busy.
Was it called Still Not Dead?
Yeah, Still Not Dead. I did six episodes, and then I did a solo one that was just in the can, and I just forgot to release it, but probably for the best.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't have a whole lot. Actually, this Friday, last week, we did our sort of memorial radio show for Martin Saulnier, who passed away. I'm not making a big thing about it, but our Uptown Comedy Deluxe this Friday on May 3rd, Martin was supposed to headline that. I don't think he's going to make it, though. And so we're going to donate all of the bit of money that we would normally get to go in my pocket and the other comics. We're going to donate that to, I saw in his obituary that there's some sort of bursary for a comedian in his name. So I'm going to figure out who to send that to. Yeah, that's at O'Leary's at 10 o'clock on Friday, May 3rd in the upstairs room. We've got Sabrina Harnish is hosting it. Ghislain Cormier is coming down from Moncton. He's making his debut. Chris Hovey's on the show. Lindsay Barron's on the show, guy that I met when I was out in Newfoundland for work a year and a half ago. He's living in Halifax now. He's going to pop by. And I'm going to close it out with whatever time is left. And that's it. Matt Kanin, thank you for joining the show. I'll put your links and stuff in the comments.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, that's it. St. John Forward Radio.